You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What a girl wants. A Help I Suck at Dating spinoff and an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special episode of What a Girl Wants, a little spinoff of Help I Suck at Dating. Your host today is me. I'm Sydney Lotwako. If you remember me, I was on Colton season of The Bachelor and season 6 of Paradise, and I recently found a relationship in quarantine and it's been going successful. So because of that, I have so many questions for our incredible guest today, just about dating and the future of it and the ways to make post-quarantine, post-COVID, post-pandemic dating successful so that we can go into this new transition of life and dating successfully and hopefully find some good dates out there. So we have awesome guests on today. Two of them that we're going to do all of your listener questions and get all into the future of dating. A little more on me. I was on The Bachelor, obviously. So it's a funny time in your life where you get to really know yourself. You get to maybe get to know The Bachelor really well. But because of all of that, you spend so much time just kind of by yourself thinking about your life and what you want. I got to really understand what I was looking for in dating. And I feel that a lot of us might have had a similar experience this past year with COVID. We were all stuck inside. We couldn't go do our normal activities. We couldn't date normally. So we were all maybe forced to think about our lives and what we were looking for. So I feel like a lot of people are kind of on that same page, whether you're in a relationship or not. Also, if you are in a relationship, a lot of relationships had to go through this whole quarantine dating, and some of us living with our partners and trying to keep it fresh while being stuck inside, not being able to go on dates, not being able to travel or really try fun and exciting things. So I also want to get into like how we keep relationships fresh during and post quarantine, because I don't know about you guys, but I definitely feel I might have lost my ability to socialize a little bit. It's a little bit weird now. We're like, do we hug each other? Do we get close to each other? Do we go out? Is it safe? All of these questions that I have. So I'm definitely excited to get into all that. There was a big announcement today. Speaking of The Bachelor, Colton came out on Good Morning America. So I just wanted to say that I'm sending him all my best and that I'm sure that was a very difficult decision and that he's been probably going through that for a while now. And I'm just hoping that with this announcement that he gets to live his truth, that he finds happiness and that good things are coming for him. So Francesca Hoagie is in the waiting room. We're going to bring her in. She is a Bumble expert. So we have lots to talk to her about the dating trends and all of her great info. So let's go ahead and bring Francesca in. Hi, Francesca. Nice to meet you. I'm Sydney.
Nice to meet you too. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yes. So thanks so much for being here. As a Bumble dating expert, what is your job description? What do you do? And can you give us a little insight into what you know about dating?
Yes. So as a Bumble dating expert, I have the very, very great privilege of working with a Bumble team who is so incredible and so dedicated to really making sure that their community makes great matches and dates safely and, it's, you know, that has a really positive experience, not only on Bumble, but also throughout their dating experience and their relationships. So I am really happy to share with you some results that Bumble has of a survey that they've done because, you know, it's springtime, things are starting to open up, and Bumble is seeing that singles are ready to date. So right here in Los Angeles, where I know you're based as well, Sydney, right?
Yes. Yes. I definitely spent my time dating in Los Angeles for sure. So.
Right. Right. And you know what a difficult dating market Los Angeles can be, right?
Yeah. But
Bumble is seeing some really, really promising trends. We're seeing that 40% of Los Angeles singles are excited and ready to get back out there and start dating. We are seeing that a lot of people are looking for serious relationships. There are also people who are looking for casual. There's always going to be that mix. But in terms of the trends that we're seeing, you know, obviously during the pandemic, virtual dating became really, really popular, right?
Yes.
And Bumble actually introduced video chat and phone chat inside of the Bumble app in 2019. But then the pandemic hit, right? And it skyrocketed in popularity. And that's one trend that Bumble predicts is going to continue, because we see that actually most singles in Los Angeles prefer a virtual first date before they get to that in-person date. So people know what they want and they know how they want to date. So they're ready to get out there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big advocate of virtual dating. I actually found my relationship in quarantine and we started talking through FaceTime and we had never met before. We talked for 3 months and then didn't meet in person until after that, and then was very successful. I think I owe it mostly to be virtually dating, because you get to really know someone. You don't have to go through like the normal dating things where you get dressed up and you show your best self. You're just kind of yourself and you get to really know the other person. So I definitely am a huge advocate for that as well.
Yeah.
Do you as you see that's very popular, do you recommend virtual dating, and how do we go about that with this transition? Because I'm sure a lot of us are over Zooms, we're over being on camera all the time. We kind of just want to be in person, but I mean, I'm an advocate of it. How do you feel about continuing virtual dating into this new space?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Sydney. I think that virtual dating is a great idea. I say that as a coach, and certainly at Bumble, we definitely have tools to make that really easy for people to just get right on that first date, because you can do that right in the app. You can get on video chat, you can get on phone, so you don't have to share your information. And we also see that it's a really great complement to another trend that has emerged over 2020, which is slow dating. So I don't know, Sydney, you probably can relate to that, right?
Yeah.
When you were getting to know your boyfriend, it was slower than dating would normally be, right?
Yes.
Right. So instead of just going like texting, like, hey, want to meet up? Now people are taking more time. So that is a trend, like I said, that Bumble sees is definitely going to continue into the spring. And it's definitely one that I recommend, because that's how you get to make those authentic connections and really know, like, okay, now I'm excited. Now I know that this is someone that we're going to have a great connection when we meet IRL.
I agree. And it's another way of staying safe. And it also, because it is frustrating at times because the physical isn't there, but I think by removing the physical, by not being able to hug, by not being able to hold hands, by not being able to like have intimacy, that you can really get to know someone even more, because you have to lean on your personality. You have to get to those deeper questions. You have to really like get to know that person on the other side of it. So I'm wondering then, with like virtual dating and first dates and the beginning of dating, like what are the okay questions for us to be asking? Because last year I feel like everyone really got a lot more into the political space, and just like with all the things that were happening in the world, I feel like that conversation is much more common. But before politics and all of that wasn't so like PC for talking on dates. So what do you recommend then for at the beginning of dating stages? What's good to talk about and what should be like left for later?
Yeah, Sydney, that's a great question. Well, one thing that Bumble has found in their survey is that there are a lot of singles who have COVID fatigue in terms of talking about COVID. So I know that obviously this is something that is impacting everyone's lives so much. And it's not that you want to completely avoid the subject, because obviously it's going to be relevant to even just things like organizing the date. However, definitely not going too far into that, maybe sharing something. Okay, well, this is what I've learned about myself, you know, during this time, or this is what I'm so excited to experience now that the world is opening up. So really making sure that whatever you're discussing, you're really bringing your own personal perspective and how you feel about it, and how that impacts you, because you want to give people that insight into who you are and what it is that you care about. Also, you know, whatever your passions are, right? What are the things that light you up? You know, we all love talking about the things that are really exciting to us, right? Oftentimes in dating, people can get into a mode where it's almost like an interview, and you're having these kind of very, you know, boring conversations of, oh, and work and school and, you know, and that's all fine, but you always want to remember you're here to see, can I make a real genuine connection with this person? And that's going to require you not just talking about your job, but talking about what do I love about my job? You know, a question that I always recommend people ask when they find themselves kind of stuck in that sort of boring work conversation is to ask someone, well, if you could do anything and get paid $10 million a year to do it, even if you only did it for 1 year, what would that be? Because that starts to really open people up, and then you can hear them dream, and they start to share what they're excited about. And that's where those great connections can really happen. So, you know, we definitely recommend, you know, Bumble gives so many tools for you to really express yourself. There are things like profile badges, and they definitely increase your match rate. So it's a conversation starter. So definitely, you know, use those badges on your profile if you're on Bumble. Bring that authenticity even into those early communications, because then once you actually are on the phone or on video or in person, you've already had some really meaningful conversation, and then it's just going to flow so much easier.
Totally. You mentioned the profile badges and the idea of a dating profile. What are some things that we should be considering? What's really popular right now on Bumble? Like, how do we make ourselves stand out in this virtual dating space?
Yes. Well, definitely here in Los Angeles and nationwide as well, one of the most popular badges is the exercise badge. So if you are a person who values fitness, wellness, that's definitely something that a lot of singles are prioritizing. Bumble has found that for the Los Angeles singles, but it's a trend nationwide. But whatever you're into, because remember, you are looking for somebody who is excited about the things that you're excited about, or at least intrigued by the things that you're excited about, right? Mm-hmm. So with your profile, you want to make sure that you're bringing, you know, specificity, right? Give examples, like what are the kinds of things that you love to do? How do you like to spend your time? And say something about the person that you want to meet, because my advice to people is always think about, you want someone to read your profile and say, wow, this person sound like they're looking for me, right? Mm-hmm. Because you just get that instant connection. And if you're being very specific, you're really creating more opportunities for people to see themselves and hear themselves in your profile. So really just leading with authenticity is my biggest piece of advice for sure.
Yeah, that's huge. And another side of that, I remember from me being on Bumble and going through the dating apps, the hardest part was always like the initial reach out. Some people always leaned on just the high, the wave, but is there better ways that we can get that initial conversation to stand out? Or what do you recommend that works the best on that first interaction on Bumble?
Yeah, great question, Sydney. So the dreaded first question. My advice for the first message is actually to ask a question, because it just makes it easier for someone to respond. It makes it easy for them to, you know, give you either return that same question, and to ask a question that you care about the answer to. So to look to a person's profile, maybe there's a photo that they have that you're wondering, oh, where are they, or what were they doing, or maybe they mentioned something in their profile. profile, whether it's a favorite movie or a travel destination that you have a question about. So if you can lead with that authentic question that's specific to that person's profile, that is a total win. And Bumble helps. You know, Bumble has a dating guide that users in our community can access that gives lots of great advice. So there are resources available to help you with those initial messages. But my advice is always to ask a question, and one that's interesting and that will capture people's attention, because they are getting so many highs. Hey, yeah. How are you?
Yeah. I remember some people's profiles was like, if you just say, hey, I won't respond. So yeah, I think lean into your personality and showing that from the start is the best way to present that.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
With the future of dating, and if, say, you're coming out of quarantine and everyone saw that, like, oh, things could get weird at some points in life and I want to have my partner to be around for when that happens. So if we're looking for something serious, if we've kind of learned what we are looking for through this past year, what are some signs that we can look for? Oh, this person's serious. They're looking for what I want. Or what are the signs, like red flags of like, this person is not what I want? And those kind of things that we can kind of keep in the back of our minds as we're going through this dating process.
Yeah, that's a great question, Sydney. And actually, well, one red flag and one thing that Bumble really recommends is that you keep your profile positive, right? Mm. So you just mentioned, Sydney, the people who say, if you say, hey, I'm not going to respond, yeah. Right? Yeah. So that's not the kind of thing that you want to put in your profile. And when you see other people who are, if they're talking more about what they don't want, right, rather than what they do want, then that's a good indication that they haven't really taken the time to get clear on what they want. And then also maybe they don't have the openness, right? So yeah. That if you see that negativity in a profile, I would say that that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. if you see a blank profile that has no information or basically no information, you know, it might have like, you know, something super tiny, like height and weight, you know, I'm sure you've seen some of those profiles
in your
data online, right? Again, that is not a good indication that someone is looking for something serious. However, when you see people's profiles where you can tell they've actually put effort into expressing something of who they are, of what they care about, of who they hope to meet, and give some indication of what they're looking for, that's a really great starting point. So I always recommend that people really prioritize those profiles where you can really see that effort, because that's a really great indication that someone's looking for something serious. And then as well in the communication that you have with someone, because when you know when you're looking for something serious, you want to know what someone's about, right? You want to know who they are. You want to know what they care about. And so when you find that people are asking you questions that are really about you, really trying to get to know you, that's a really good sign that this person is actually looking to invest, versus someone who's asking questions that are much more shallow or just kind of, you know, passing the time and not, you know, and not putting as much effort into it. So when it comes to dating, effort is the best indicator of interest and availability. So yeah. I definitely recommend prioritizing the people who are able to show that effort when you're looking for something serious.
Yeah, I agree. I always say that people will show you who they are, especially if you're looking for that. So lean into the people that are doing that. As far as like the games of it all, Francesca, do you believe in playing the games? Do you believe that, like, that whole saying, like, don't hate the player, hate the game? Or do you think, like, it depends on what you're looking for? Like, what is your view on the games in dating?
Yeah. So, well, my view on games and dating is that if you play games, then people will play games with you. And yeah, I am anti-game playing because, listen, the point of dating, right? We have this amazing community of people on Bumble who are truly looking for love. They're truly looking for connection. And when you're looking for that, this is not about games. This is about intimacy, right? This is about owning who you are, knowing who you are, showing up with your authenticity, being able to see the authenticity in other people and connect with each other because of who you really are. So, you know, I always recommend, because it's easy to kind of fall into a little bit of that game playing, you know, especially in the early days of dating. But what I always recommend to people is really think about your long-term goals here. So even if you have the short term, you know, quote unquote, win of winning this little game that you're in at the moment, you know, your long term goals for love and connection and intimacy, how are they served by those games? So I really want everyone to feel very empowered, and Bumble wants everyone to feel very empowered. I mean, that's the whole purpose of Bumble. And that's why it was created, was to be a platform where, well, women in particular could be very empowered in their dating experience. But for everyone on Bumble, we really want them to feel very empowered to be authentic, right? To show up with that authenticity, and to be very clear about what it is that they're looking for, and to respect that not everyone's going to feel that same way. And that's okay, because there are lots of people who do. And actually, another thing on that front, this is my favorite dating trend. So usually when we hear dating trends, they're terrible. You know, it's ghosting, it's breadcrumbing, it's zombieing, it's all of these things that you don't want. But Bumble's actually discovered a really great new dating trend called hardballing, which is people know what they're looking for and they're not settling for less. So once it's clear, hey, I'm looking for a relationship, you're not, that's great, but we're not going to, this is the end. So I think that this is amazing, because the only way to guarantee that you won't get what you're looking for is to settle for less. So I'm glad that so many more singles are really owning what they want and they are refusing to settle. And, you know, Bumble is just so happy to support them in their efforts to connect and find really great matches.
I love that trend so much. And I do think that hopefully last year led to people believing in that more, that we deserve what we're looking for, that we can be clear on that. And if that person that we thought was going to be that long haul and they weren't, that's great. And the sooner you can find that out, the better. That's why I'm also of the camp of just like kind of laying it out there and being really clear on what you're looking for. So I love that. Are there any other trends that you have seen that we should kind of keep in mind from this past year of dating?
Yeah, well, you know, another big trend that Bumble has found here in Los Angeles is local dating. Mm. So we're finding that people are actually looking to date people in their own neighborhoods. So they don't want to commute, you know, in Los Angeles.
Here
in Los
Angeles, traffic, man, it's not worth it.
You know, people are, they're like, wait, you're on the east side and I'm on the west side. No, this isn't going to work, right? So we're seeing, and I think it kind of makes sense because, look, we've been so disconnected for so long. You know, people have been just this unprecedented levels of isolation. And now it's like, I don't want us to have to spend an hour driving in traffic to go to my date. I want someone who's right here, who's right local, that we can just get to each other really quickly. Like, there's been enough time alone. It's time to be together. So I think that that's something that everyone will probably, that's a trend that we'll see happening nationwide as well as here in Los Angeles. So yeah, keep it local. And, you know,
That's so interesting.
Meet for coffee in the neighborhood. Take a social distance walk.
I love a social distance walk. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I would almost think it would go the other way, but it kind of makes sense where it's like we were at our home so much. We got very cozy in our homes. We got used to delivery, getting there in 15 minutes. Like we just kind of got used to that lifestyle. So I kind of like that. So you talk about planning dates and doing local walks and things like that. Like what are some other interesting dates that we can start planning? Something that's safe, but also getting us out of our houses. Like what do you recommend for date planning?
Yes, so much. Okay, so well, here in Los Angeles, as you know, Sydney, we're lucky because we have so many great outdoor venues. But Farmers Market is a really popular date that Bumble has found with its community. Going on a hike, going on a walk by the beach or a bike ride. You know, there's all of these great things. I also just recommend to people, I'm like, hey, you can always just get a smoothie or a cup of coffee and just take a walk. Right. Mm. Like, you know, and, you know, we live in the city of 1,000 hikes, you know, which is a really great way to have a socially distanced outdoor date or even just sitting at an outdoor cafe that, you know, where you can be a bit apart. So one of the great resources that Bumble has for its community is they actually have a COVID preferences guide that you can go and you can set your preferences for your comfort level and you can see other people's, you know, what their comfort level is for dealing with COVID and safety. So you get to kind of pre-screen because another trend that Bumble has discovered, and this is certainly here in Los Angeles, but nationwide as well, is that people want to date people who have the same views about COVID, have the same views about the vaccination, have the same views about, you know, being socially distanced. So Bumble makes that really easy for you to actually put that in your profile. So, and you can find it in others. So you can just eliminate and know you're okay. We're on the same page. We're going to figure out how to make a socially distanced date really fun. And luckily, even for those who aren't in Los Angeles, it is springtime here in America. So there's lots of options opening up all over for people to find safe ways to date and connect.
I love that, especially with such a divided year. It's nice to having people coming together and being a little bit like on that same page from the start. So I love that you guys do that. We have some really awesome listener questions that I'd love to ask you.
Okay, great.
I guess we might have covered this, but what is the biggest change you have seen in online dating due to COVID?
Well, one thing is that it's just exploding. So at Bumble, you know, the community has just grown so much over the course of COVID, and we're just seeing so much more engagement, right? So people, as I mentioned, within the Bumble app, there are features like video calling and phone calls, and we see that people have been using those. They are having like real connections. They are talking on the, they're not just like having a 1 minute, 2 minute, you know, call. They're actually talking for a while and getting to know each other. So that's something that we're seeing, and that's really encouraging, right? That people are really looking again to make those deeper connections. You know, slow dating, again, that's a really, really big trend that Bumble predicts is going to continue, as well as virtual dating. And also people are really, in terms of lifestyle, we are seeing more than ever, people are really looking for people who have similar lifestyles to them. Mm. So that's a big trend. So Bumble found for their users here in LA, that is the number one thing that the community is prioritizing, is lifestyle. So they want people who, you know, you have the same drinking habits, you have the same exercise habits. And that, so that is something that I think we'll definitely see continue past COVID. So yeah, so there's some shifts. And then also just people, again, being really clear about what it is that they're looking for and not being willing to settle for less. That's a really encouraging and exciting trend for those who are looking for love.
Yes. Don't ever settle. Okay. Next question. Will dating ever be the same? How will summer look and next year?
That's a really good question. Well, will dating ever be the same? Well, Bumble predicts that it won't ever be the same. We believe that a lot of these trends that have emerged, like the virtual dating and the slow dating, that those trends are going to continue. People are just finding that it makes dating, it makes it easier. It makes it more successful. And so, you know, why go back?
I agree.
Why go back? So yeah, we're so lucky to live in an age where we have, you know, this technology that allows people to connect in this way, and stay safe and to be efficient about dating, right? So so Bumble is hoping that everyone is going to continue to really, you know, utilize these tools in a way that we've seen them use them over the pandemic.
I love that. I think last question is, how do we navigate physical touch with someone new when people aren't even giving hugs right now?
Yes, that's such a great question. So this is the big question. So again, I just got to let you know that Bumble does have a dating 101 guide that, so if you go to bumble.com/datingguide, and there's lots of resources there to help you with the COVID conversation and all of that, because it is a tricky one. And again, you can also put in your preferences in your profile, what your COVID safety preferences are. So doing that up front is so helpful because it makes the conversation so much easier, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have no idea and you're just hoping that that you're going to be on the same page and it hasn't been discussed ahead of time, then, you know, this does get more, it gets a lot more uncomfortable. So the number one thing is for you to just be clear on what your personal comfort level is. And to decide that ahead of time, because what you don't want to happen is that you kind of don't know, and then you go on a date with someone, and then you just want to go along, and, you know, because you feel awkward and you don't know where your boundary is, and maybe then you kind of discover your boundary, like, oh, I wasn't so comfortable doing that. Uh-huh. So really getting clear ahead of time what your comfort level is, communicating with your dates. I know it's not that easy to have these conversations, but it's a really, really great testing ground in terms of seeing, is this someone that I can communicate with, being able to really, you know, say, communicate your needs and see how that other person can receive it. So it's a personal decision, you know, obviously depending on your personal situation, whether or not you've been vaccinated, your date, and all of those things. So there's lots of things to navigate. But as I said, I definitely encourage everyone to check out Bumble's dating guide, because there is a section on having the COVID conversation.
That is so huge. And you guys just take out the guesswork, which I love. So thank you for all of your advice and your insight, Francesca. And I'm so excited to see what happens with dating. I hope that everyone from this episode is going to get all the dates and yes, go into it without fear. So thank you for being here, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You as well.
Amazing. Well, we will be back after a quick break. We are bringing on Susan Trombetti, who is a celebrity matchmaker. So we'll be right back after a break.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
So welcome back, guys. We have Susan Trombetti here. She is a celebrity matchmaker, which I'm super excited to get all the deets on that. So welcome, Susan. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks, Sydney, for having me. I'm excited as well.
Yay. So a celebrity matchmaker. Can you explain to me what that is, how different that is from like regular matchmaking, and what you kind of do on a day-to-day basis?
So when it comes down to matchmaking and celebrity matchmaking, it sounds kind of intimidating. I like to say I'm a matchmaker to the rich and famous a lot, because there's so many different types of matchmaking out there. I mean, you could be matched by, you know, you both having the same dog. I mean, there's so many like specialties. But at the end of the day, I'm finding love for people. And that is definitely, you know, something that everybody goes through and experiences, feeling lonely, wanting to find that special person. And so I'm a headhunter for love, and that's what I do.
Amazing. So you're facilitating love across the world, which we love. So as far as matchmaking goes, like, what do you look for in your clients? How do you know if someone's compatible? Like, do they go through a series of questions? I'm just wondering if we can take what you know and apply it to our regular dating lives outside of matchmaking.
Oh, yeah. I always say that. I mean, I always say, listen, I do private sessions, and I say, I'm giving you the same advice I give to my celebrity clients. And I have one huge celebrity client, and, you know, she's like, she's, you know, big A-lister, can't make a move without the paparazzi. She took my advice. She found love. And that is, you know, sometimes you just have to be open, and especially emerging from this pandemic that we're really not through yet. I feel like single people have definitely realized the important qualities that it takes to be in a relationship. So the first thing is toss your list. People go for people that look good on paper, or I should say they used to, but now they know what the real qualities are that make a relationship work every day, if you're stranded on a deserted island or locked down during quarantine. And a lot of times it just has to do with casting a wide net and stop being so picky. lucky. All of these things that you think you need, you really don't need. At the end of the day, you need to have compatibility and alignment on, are you guys going to have children? If so, you know, how many? You need to discuss all these things ahead of time. It's not like conversation for a first date. But that's it, Sydney. You need to know, will you date somebody with children? You need to know, is there an alignment on religion or not? Most of the time, religion isn't as important anymore. Mm-hmm. And the new religion is fitness. So it's that and the outcome of the relationship that you're looking for. Is it a long-term relationship or is it marriage? And really, at the end of the day, cut it there. Don't judge a book by its cover, meaning, you know, a lot of times people look better in look better in person than in photos when it comes to online dating, although a lot of people are tricked. So I still say at the turn of the decade that virtual dates were in, and then I never expected the pandemic to actually cement that idea. But I do think that as long as you have a first virtual date, you know, taking the place of the coffee date where you used to just show up real quick, dash in and dash out to make sure they look like their photo, I think you're good. So that's my take on matchmaking. And that's what I do. I encourage people to toss that list and be open.
I like the idea of being open, but it's also a fact of like knowing what your non-negotiables are, which is you mentioned, like, would you want to have kids one day? What you kind of want out of the relationships, but not being like, he must be like 6'3" and he must have curly hair and light eyes or I will dump him immediately. Like just kind of breaking that apart. I mean, yes, having attraction, but not so much being so strict about it.
So I love that because that is exactly what people come in and say, that he needs to be over 6 foot tall or whatever. And that is ridiculous. Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, when you do that, you've ruled out, you know, at best, 87% of the population. At the very least, you know, some people say it's 90% of the population. So I'm right there with you. These were all the shallow things. And one of the things that you mentioned, which is exactly how I describe it, is you do need to know your non-negotiables. Okay. And I'm a big fan of The Bachelor. I like the way you walked off The Bachelor because that is what people have to do in order to find love. Don't spend time with the wrong person if you know your non-negotiables, but it's not the shallow things in life, like how tall they are. And it's the real things like, I'm not going to date a narcissist. I'm not going to date someone that won't offer me a commitment. And no matter how great they are and check off everything on your list that you shouldn't have, you know, don't date them. Don't involve yourself. The other thing I like to say is people tend to call it my 90-day rule, but it's not. It's just, don't go exclusive in the first 3 months. And that doesn't mean you have to be dating other people. It just means don't, you know, jump in with your heart and just spend that time making sure that everything lines up. Because if you jump with your heart and then you keep going exclusive with the wrong person, ultimately you break up and you'll be, you know, a couple of decades off the market for a short stint. Relationships, a multitude of them. And that really has an impact on you and could be the reason why you're still single. Mm-hmm. So that's my take on all of that.
You mentioned a 90-day rule. Do you have any other dating rules for people to kind of follow? Or what are your views on that?
Well, okay, so that's my biggest one. And the reason, by the way, is the first time you're going to see the person, the real true person, because everybody puts their best foot forward, is around 3 months you have your first argument. And so that's where the relationship begins. And everybody will kind of try to tell you they want what you want because it's just human nature. And then there are the people that will agree with you to date you. So they can only keep up that ruse for so long. So the other thing I like to say, you know, obviously there's some basic rules, but put away your cell phone, but people don't do it. Mm-hmm. Do not talk about an ex. I don't know what it is, but everyone wants to talk about their history with an ex. You're in front of somebody trying to make history with this person. Don't talk about the ex. That's a big one. And be positive. I mean, if you're not positive, you're not going to get a second date. I've had that happen with people dating, you know, fabulous clients. And she was just so negative. So anyway, those are my two things. Be positive. Don't talk about your ex.
Yeah. Don't lead with your baggage. You're trying to build a new future with someone.
Yeah. And people do it.
Yeah. I totally have seen that before.
I don't know what it is, but they feel like they have to tell, like, it's like who they are. And that's okay at some point. Mm-hmm. But the first date, second date, third date, it's all about flirting, having fun.
Totally. You mentioned earlier how last year kind of affected things and people might be in this like lonely single place or maybe not. But if someone is feeling lonely after this past year, is looking for a relationship, like what is your advice on how to not bring that into the dating space?
Well, I would say if you're feeling lonely, now is the best time to date. People have made it a priority now to find the right relationship. And there are so many people out there. Whereas in previous times when it's not a pandemic, that's the prevailing thought process come January 1st with New Year's resolutions and around the holidays, all the way through Valentine's Day. But I mean, this is a great time for dating. Everyone is out there looking. The people on dating apps have increased. I don't know the percentages. I haven't kept up with them, but they were, you know, high all, you know, a big increase all last year into this year. So just get back out there. Don't be lonely. If you feel rusty, you know, at it, just remember those few tips and just go out. The idea of dating someone is to have fun and to explore. So just go out with that attitude. Not everybody, and realize that not everybody that doesn't ask you out on a second date is a direct reflection of you. Sometimes people come with their own baggage, and I don't want to say sometimes, but many times the reason they didn't ask you back out as a matchmaker, I know, has nothing to do with you and has everything to do with them. And, you know, that's sad because a lot of people really internalize those feelings of rejection. So don't do that. Just get back out there, put your best foot forward.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Do you believe in that everything can kind of happen for a reason and fall into place? Or do you feel like we should actively be getting out there if we're single and wanting a relationship?
Well, I think there might be a certain amount of serendipity or, you know, whatever you want to call it, or fate. But at the end of the day, I've heard so many people say, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. No, it's not. The last time I checked, you know, your perfect match didn't walk by your couch while you were like binging Netflix, right? So you got to make it happen.
Absolutely. So then for getting a date, because I feel like last year we were all stuck inside, the social cues might not still be there as much. Like, what are the best ways to go about getting a date? Say if you're like out in person and you see someone that you like across the coffee shop or wherever you are, like what's the best way to go about getting a date?
Flirt, flirt, flirt. And I think that singles, you know, I used to say, you know, text was for informational purposes only. But right at the start of the pandemic, it's so funny because I was in New York the day they shut it down, my state as well. And I was like, no, you're going to have, I kind of predicted that you're going to have to up your game flirting over text. But now I think, well, I still think that that's here to stay. And I think that you need to learn how to flirt in person. So obviously there's signs, there's body language. If you see someone across the room, if they're looking at you and staring you down and you're staring at them and your eyes are meeting and you're smiling and they're, you know, flashing their pearly whites, I think that's a green light and you can approach. There's nothing wrong with making the first move as long as you're not the person making all of the moves or the one constantly trying to set up the dates or, you know, making all the effort. So listen, make the first move, go for it.
I agree. And the more you do that, the easier it'll become. So say the first one doesn't work, then you'll already know that you have the bravery to do it for the next one.
Exactly. And, you know, that's what I kind of work with sometimes with shy singles is I take them out. Obviously, this is pre-pandemic. The bars are open where I'm at, but, you know, everything's not been open across the board. And even bars where I'm at, I think just opened in the last month. Possibly, I'm not even sure if they're open, but I used to take out shy singles and we'd start in a place like a dive bar. Hmm. And at first I would have them talk to a woman, maybe for 5 minutes. And then we'd work our way up maybe the next time to a guy that they don't feel intimidated by and talk, and then increase that time that you talk to somebody. So practice makes perfect till you get to the point where you can approach someone that you're interested in. And that's a real viable person for, you know, a relationship with you.
I agree. It's like building a muscle. It's kind of like working out. Like the more you do it, the easier it becomes, the more comfortable you get, the more fit you get with it. So yeah, definitely just putting yourself out there.
Yeah. I mean, it really works. It really works. And unfortunately, shy people sometimes, I've noticed, kind of come off as, you know, very conservative, sometimes even angry.
Yeah.
So just learning how to flash your pearly whites and flirt a little bit really is going to take the edge off, much less relaxing and learning how to talk to people. And I, you know, at first I go with them, but I like them to practice it themselves, you know, go to a bar after work, have one glass of wine, just get comfortable, because you're never, once again, going to meet anybody sitting on your couch by yourself or in the same pod of girlfriends that are all married or in your neighborhood where it's a bunch of families, that sort of thing. Your odds increase when you get out where single people are.
I agree. Just being in the vicinity of it. Have you noticed any trends for your clients who maybe don't get that second date, or some things that they might have maybe not done wrong, but like things that don't lead to that second date? Do you have any suggestions on that?
So when you say trends, you think like the reasons people are turning them down, or, you know, because there's, when it comes down to a second date, not getting the second date, I think the biggest thing would be that people don't understand the difference between lust and chemistry. So what I find is they're just not giving it enough time to develop chemistry, and they're confusing the two. So I've actually had people say, I know in the first 10 seconds before they ever open their mouth. Well, no, you know that you like what they look like. And if you two connect on that lustful level, chances are by the time chemistry would have been built with somebody else that you didn't necessarily feel that strong of a relationship, you know, the lust relationship would have already crashed and burned. But the chemistry is a slow burn. So you really, I always tell people, give it at least 2 dates, but you need at least 3 to 4 dates. I mean, somebody's nervous. Most people are nervous the first couple of times, and they can just even have an off night even if they're not. So you got to give somebody a chance and really look hard at them. And that is the biggest thing that I notice that people do not do. Some of my clients take my advice. Most of them don't. They think they know, you know, what's best, but that's what feels comfortable to them because that's how they've always worked it. So when you get out of your comfort zone, you're going to find love.
There you go. Yeah, I was always got in trouble because I always gave the second date, even though I wasn't really feeling on the first. But I love that you said that because it takes a couple dates sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have some awesome listener questions for you. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into those because you have so much good knowledge. So first question, when you match people together, what are the things that you look for to show if two people are compatible or not?
Oh, well, like I said, I look to make sure they're looking for the same type of relationship and that it is a commitment that they're looking for, because some people don't really want a commitment. And I don't match people that don't want a commitment. Like if they just want to use me for dates, that's a no-no. So I look to make sure that there's an alignment on whether or not they're looking for a long-term relationship or marriage. The next thing is children. Do they want them? How many? Will they date someone with them? Because this is important. Children are a lifestyle, like when it comes down to people that already have children. The next thing is if somebody's like 40 years old and they want to date somebody without children, I do coach them that most of the people your age have children and you're limiting your choices. And the third thing I look at is religion. Most people I find are not super religious, that they're just spiritual. So they might have been raised Catholic, you know, whatever it is, they may have been raised, but have fallen away from that. So they're just open to meet anyone of any religion, but maybe not convert. So those are the three things. But like I said, fitness is huge. And I do look at that. So if I, most people want somebody that's fit and live a healthy lifestyle. So those are all the things that come along with it, the out activities and hobbies, and usually hobbies are preferences. But sometimes when it comes down to fitness, I mean, think about it. It's a healthier way of eating. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, being in the gym or whatever it is you do to make it work that you stay so fit. It could be the mirror. It could be anything, you know. So that's kind of like, I say my top three, but that's really like the fourth, sometimes more important than religion. But those are the things. And just to get clear on what your preferences are and separate them. Mm-hmm. Think about, like, if you're on a deserted island with this person, what do you need? And that's why there were a lot of COVID breakups, because they were together for the wrong reasons.
Mm. There you go. Next question, which I find very interesting. Should you buy a house together if you aren't married yet?
Oh, heck no.
Oh, no.
don't do that, whatever you do. Oh, I have to say that I had personal experience with this with one of my children, and I told her no. I mean, it's different if you're about to get married and it's 3 months before. But no, do not buy a house with someone that you are not going to marry in the immediate future. It is a very difficult thing to get out of, a very difficult and expensive thing to get out of. And I actually have a good friend that went through this too. No, 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 big no.
Oh, wow. Good to know.
Yes. I feel very strongly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good advice. It's like, don't sign the paperwork unless it is actually legit. So making sure. Someone asked, and I feel like you have the answer to this, but should you get a divorce if one person wants to adopt and the other person doesn't?
Well, that goes back to, you know, the initial things in the relationship that you look for. So I think, what did the person agree to going in? It doesn't mean they can't change their mind. People do change their mind. I don't like to tell anyone to divorce, you know, but I can tell you that there is no alignment there. And if someone wants children and someone doesn't, there's no reconciling that. You could give them time if they need more time. But other than that, I mean, a good marriage counselor maybe can help you sort through all of these things, because I'm not one to think that you should walk away from something, but I will tell you that is a fundamental that your relationship is built on and agreed upon before you marry. And if you didn't agree beforehand, I guess at the end of the day, somebody has to decide what's more important, the child or the relationship. And, you know, like I said, sometimes there's no reconciling that. So you might have to walk away if the person is just adamant about never doing it. Mm-hmm. Another thing, at that point, like, how old are you both? So I actually had this come up yesterday. This woman wanted to go out with one of my wonderful clients. And first she said, well, that ship has sailed. I'm too old to have children. But she did freeze her eggs and changed her mind in between the time that I had the initial interview and about to have a second interview. Mm-hmm. So I won't even put them together, because that is a reason for a breakup. And I, as a matchmaker, try to eliminate all the reasons somebody could break up except for a spark. I can't account for a spark. Mm-hmm. But generally, I know what someone's looking for. So anyway, yeah, that's a tough one. It's really tough.
That initial non-negotiable, for sure.
Yeah.
How should you handle sharing money when someone makes a lot of money and the other person doesn't?
That's something that you two have to decide prior to the marriage, once again. Mm-hmm. And just because somebody makes a lot of money now and the other person doesn't mean the roles won't be reversed later.
True.
I'm going to say, if you're going to be a couple, a married couple, you're obviously going to negotiate that. But if you're just, this is something that I experience when I match people. So a lot of times women will come to me and they'll be very wealthy and they'll say, I need a guy that makes as much as me. Well, Sydney, $250,000 is a two percenter. Mm-hmm. And that's really nothing. right? When you take that into account, I mean, think about it. So what's somebody that makes a lot of money? I mean, most of the time they're less than a 1%er, right? There's less than 1% of the people out there that make that kind of money. So you're ruling out all of these people out there because you think like, if you have to have that, what I say, because they do come to me and they want to have that, they want to have an equal, but no, you don't need that. Here's the trick. You need someone that mirrors your lifestyle. So if they're jetting off to, I don't know, if they're jetting off to St. Bart's and, you know, just they have this incredible lifestyle, they stay in the Four Seasons or the Ritz and, you know, whatever have you, you know, 20 days out of 30, and you're kind of like a Holiday Inn kind of person, well, that's never going to line up. But if the lifestyle fits and you both are in agreement on how you live your everyday life, that's not too much of a that's not too much of a big deal, really, as long as the lifestyle fits and there's an alignment there. So things like, how do you travel? What are your expectations around luxury travel or not luxury travel? That sort of thing. And as long as that all lines up and you can work it out, it's fine.
Yeah, it's lifestyle and communication. Very clear. Last question we have is somewhat specific, but she says, or he, I have been waiting for over a year for my boyfriend to say, I love you. I said it a long time ago again, but stop to not scare him. Do I stay?
She doesn't want to like dig because that could be traumatizing too. The first thing I would say is, does she feel that he loves her? And if she feels that he loves her and his actions are consistent with that, that's okay for now. He might get there. Well, I shouldn't say he probably will get there if she feels loved. If she doesn't feel loved, obviously she loves him. It's painful, but she needs to walk because she deserves love. And, you know, there's a huge difference. I've seen people that won't say I love you until they're ready to commit to marriage and they believe what that's what that means. But they love their spouse to death. And they express it every day, but didn't do it for, oh, goodness, maybe 2 years. But then I've seen people that say it too soon and they really don't mean it. So you need somebody. There might be some other things going on if they can't communicate or express. But that's not as bad as not loving you. So I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, do they feel loved? And is her boyfriend, or do her boyfriend's actions line up with loving her? And that's what's important for now, I believe. Don't you agree, Sydney?
I completely agree. Because sometimes people might put different ideas of what saying I love you means. Like you said, with like, people might wait until they're ready for marriage to say it. It might not necessarily mean they don't have the feeling. So I think that's a huge point that you just made. So thank you.
Yeah.
Susan, before you go, can you just let our listeners know where they can find you, a little bit more about your matchmaking and the services that you have?
Oh, thanks for asking. So I am at exclusivematchmaking.net. You can always email me from there. And I do private. I try to have a service for everyone. I feel that not everyone needs matchmaking. They just need some coaching, even though they're like, no, I just need to meet someone. So most people, if they trust me, can find love. And it doesn't have to be through matchmaking. So I do private sessions. I do date coaching and I do matchmaking.
Perfect. Yeah. Sometimes it just takes that little extra help to find the person that you're looking for. So thank you for what you do. And
thanks
you for being here.
Me.
Yeah. It was so great to talk to you.
Yeah. It was wonderful talking to you too. So have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too. Bye, Susan.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that is it for our guests. Thanks so much to Francesca and Susan for being here. I feel like I learned a lot and I am in a newer relationship, but I think they both gave great advice about overall just putting yourself out there, getting clear on what you're looking for and not being afraid to ask for it and to find it, but also making sure that you know your non-negotiables before going into these relationships and just get out there and date and use this time as the world is opening up to, yes, be safe, but also to start living your lives again and hopefully finding what we're all have been looking for. So that is it for me today. Again, I'm Sydney Lotwako. You guys can reach out to me on Instagram always because I love to answer my DMs, connect with you. and on my own podcast as well. So I will see you guys hopefully soon. Thanks for being here. Have a great day.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.